I've just hopped in the front passenger seat of a four-wheel drive. Beside me in the driver's seat is Sean Fagan, a Wathaurong traditional owner and cultural heritage projects officer with the Wathaurong Aboriginal Corporation. We're on our way to visit an old corroboree tree at the base of Mount Buninyong that's also an important site for the Wathaurong.
It's also a significant landmark to be able to navigate your way through country. If you pictured the landscape without fences and without houses and without roads, it's a way to be able to navigate your way across Wathaurong country from Geelong all the way up to Beaufort.
Seated in the back is Sue Marshall. She's the director of Victoria University's Sir Zelman Cowan Centre. After research showed there was a lack of independence for traditional owners in mapping and managing their cultural heritage sites, the university partnered with technology company Iconics to develop a mapping database system that would let Indigenous people take control of those significant sites.
We work with the Wathaurong to really refine the software to the needs of a community, including permissions for different people to have access to the information, the kind of maps that could be produced and the kind of cultural artefacts that could be recorded. And at the same time, the reason the university, I suppose, is involved is because it's about training people in skills that they could use in so many different ways.
Sue says the project has been a success and the software, that can be used on a tablet device, has won two awards, including a City of Ballarat and National Trust of Australia Heritage Award.
From our research, it's really the first time that a work to preserve cultural heritage has won up what we would call a mainstream heritage award, where the word heritage is now defined as something that extends beyond settlement of white people in Australia. Very exciting.
Now tell me, Sean, what does this program allow you to do that you haven't been able to do before?
It enables us to map our country and control our own information as we see fit, and to be able to encrypt it so certain people at certain levels can see certain information that we record, and also to be able to protect those sites that need to be recorded, not only sites that were pre-contact of Europeans, but sites that are happening now and events that are happening now. So it's a work in progress, and we'd like to include more things like oral histories and things into it. It enables us to work with land managers such as parks, DSE, catchment management authorities, to be able to use this system to create, I guess, a heritage overlay within their areas in which they manage, to create awareness of what heritage is out there and how to manage it appropriately.
We've now parked at the side of a bushy residential street. There's a towering red gum erupting from the middle of the road. It's reportedly hundreds of years old and, in parts, is showing its age. So what's the significance of this particular tree, Sean?
It has oral history to be a corroboree tree. It's a place of gathering.
So tell me how you're going to map the corroboree tree, Sean.
Okay, so now we've got the GPS running and I'm just going to mark the extent of the site. Just open up a form. This form, I can choose how it's going to be encrypted. So this tree was a place used by everyone, so we'll mark this as a community encryption. And then I'll mark the location of it. And then that brings up a form that we can now take photos, and it'll show a tree on the map. So we can go through and name it.
So has there been much interest from other traditional owner groups in the technology?
Yeah, I've presented it at the Registered Aboriginal Party forums that are made up of traditional owner groups across Victoria, and all groups have shown an interest in it. Recently went up to the World Indigenous Network conference in Darwin and showed a few people up there what the system is and compared it with some of the other systems that were being used across Australia and the world, and there's nothing out there anything like this.
Sue says the program is not only for marking the location of sites,
but it also means that if there are weeds or you want to have a land management system, that you could actually record what you were doing. So not only is it recording the history of the site and for preservation and protection under the Act, but the same system can be used for land management. And all the entry can be done here on the site. So you could have a group of people inputting information, talking about it,
especially if it's a site of great significance. So we could have had a range of other people here that now will tell stories about this site, especially the older members of the community, and we need to not lose that information. And those oral recordings would be attached in the same database to the tree in the site. So it's really simplistic, but again, it is very empowering.
While Sean's recording the tree's details, a local resident wanders over to tell us his story.
My name's Terry McDonald, and I live opposite this lovely tree. And we've been here 23 years, and we have people come and look at it, measure it, discuss the significance of it, and talk about what can be done in the future. And we've watched it over the years go through a drought. Pieces fall off it, but it still survives. It keeps going. It's such a huge focal point, because I can walk the dogs anywhere around this district. I can still see the top of this tree. That's great.
So now, yeah, I've entered the photographs that I've taken from each angle of the tree, and Sue and myself have just measured the girth of the tree, and I'll times that by 15 to find the extent of the roots. And as we can see, this tree is under threat from compaction of the roots from road traffic, because it's pretty much in the middle of a traffic island.
So you were saying that despite the tree looking rather sickly in places, that it can be preserved?
Oh, absolutely. There's new growth close up to the tree, indicating that, you know, it actually wants to survive. I mean, it really is a tree that's probably seen hundreds of years of ups and downs and weathers and conditions, but it would be accelerating at the moment. And it really would just take some goodwill and some resources to ensure that the tree's here for as long as possible. And if I lived on the street, it would be fantastic to know what a significant spot it was for the community, the heritage of this actual street.
So now we've finished recording it, and now it's plotted a tree on our map.
And one more site recorded for future generations.
That's right.